Grace and peace be yours from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever been surprised? Surprises can be a lot of fun. After a romantic stroll in the park, a young man gets down on his knee, pulls out a beautiful ring, and asks his girlfriend, "Will you marry me?" A young wife shares big news with her husband, "Guess what? We're having a baby." On the other hand, surprises can be a lot less fun. Rain washes out your much-anticipated wedding day. An optimistic job seeker receives a string of rejections after seemingly great interviews. News of the sudden death of a loved one crushes us. All surprises are, by definition, unexpected. But not all surprises are received in the same way. People, after all, can have vastly different reactions to the same surprise. The results of the latest presidential election are going to come in about a month or so. Sorry, they're not going to cancel it this year. At least some will probably celebrate, but a lot of others, and I think it's probably most, will lament. A few might even talk about moving to Canada. Same surprise, same experience, different response. This dynamic is exactly what we see when Philip and Nathanael see and hear of Jesus for the first time. Through his only son, God revealed his greatest surprise for a world in darkness. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, come down from above to dispel the darkness of this sin-darkened world. Yet we have two entirely different responses to this news. After calling Andrew and his brother Peter, Jesus found Philip and called him to be his disciple too. "Follow me." And almost at once, Philip ran off to share this good news with his friend Nathanael. There is excitement in Philip's words. "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God." Philip speaks as if he had found a fabulous treasure and he must tell everyone about it. He receives the news with joy. Philip sees Jesus through the eyes of the Holy Spirit, the eyes of faith. He has seen the light. But what about Nathanael? From Philip, Nathanael hears of Jesus for the first time. But his reaction is entirely different from Philip's. There is no excitement from Nathanael on hearing the good news, but rather suspicion about the Galilean Jesus. "Can anything good come out of Galilee? Come out of Nazareth?" he scoffs. Nathanael's is not a joyful attitude, but a guarded one. He receives the news with a cautious disposition at best and a doubtful one at worst. Unlike Philip, Nathanael sees Jesus through the eyes of the flesh, somewhere between disbelief and unbelief. He is still in the dark. The light has not yet overcome it. But the question still remains, can anything good come out of Nazareth in Galilee? Honestly, the odds are against it, at least from a Jewish perspective. Galilee is a ways north of Judea, separated from Judea by the half-breed heathens of Samaria. It is a land surrounded by unclean Gentiles and Samaritans, and too far from holy Jerusalem, which is down south in Judea. No self-respecting Israelites would look for the Son of God, the King of Israel, God's chosen man, in such an unexpected place as Galilee of the Gentiles. Unlike their counterparts in Judea, Galilean Jews speak with strange accents and are known for a less than clean record when it comes to following the Jewish ceremonial law. Why look for God's power and wisdom in Galilee? It makes no sense. Isn't Jerusalem the real center of kingly power and rabbinic wisdom? Aren't God's holy temple and holy priests in the holy city? Aren't the learned Pharisees and scribes there too? In short, aren't the clean, pure, and righteous Israelites to be found in Jerusalem? Can God truly work out his salvation from an unlikely place such as Nazareth in Galilee, and among such unlikely folks as Galileans? Nevertheless, God surprises us. Too often we look for power and wisdom in the wrong place, in the best we humans have to offer, in our holiness, our purity, our righteousness. Yet it is in Jesus of Nazareth, the unassuming man from Galilee, that we are called to see the power and wisdom of God at work in our lives. We are called to fix our eyes not on ourselves, but on Jesus. Not on our holiness, but Jesus' holiness. We are reminded that we are not the light. Jesus is the light of the world. We are only in the light when we are in him. To the surprised and perplexed, to the cautious and guarded, to those in disbelief or doubt and seeking answers, Jesus appears and invites them to fellowship with him. Come and you will see. When Jesus extends this invitation to Nathanael, he does so through Philip, whom he had just called to follow him. Nathanael's infamous words, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" are met with Philip's simple call to meet Jesus. Come and see. Any lingering questions and doubts Nathanael may have had about the man from Galilee eventually come to an end when Jesus himself appears to him and, to Nathanael's surprise, tells him exactly where he was before Philip called him. Suddenly, the light came on for Nathanael. The light of Christ overcame the darkness of Nathanael's heart. Nathanael had now seen the light. Nathanael's words of scoffing are suddenly replaced by his confession of faith. "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Good things do come from Nazareth in Galilee. Not only does God work out his salvation, but he reveals the light of the world from a most unexpected place. Out of Galilee, through the man from Galilee, God chooses to bring the light of his Son to the most unlikely folks, to Galileans themselves, and through them invites others to bask in the light of his kingdom. Andrew, Simon Peter, and Philip are all from Bethsaida in Galilee. Nathanael himself is from Cana in Galilee. And the list goes on. A Galilean Savior with Galilean disciples. How shocking. How surprising. A people too close to the Gentiles. A people with a strange accent. A people cut from a different cultural cloth than their southern counterparts. Yet it is out of odd and lowly Galilee that the risen Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, sends out his Galilean disciples to bring the world wrapped in darkness into the light of his Son. Who are the Galileans of our day? Who are the people in our neighborhoods who look and speak differently from us, whose cultural ways confound us? Who are those strange folks from different tribes, languages, and nations in our midst? Whom do you think, from our narrow human perspective, are the neighbors least likely to benefit from our good news, from God's gift of salvation in Christ? Who do we think, due to our closed-minded ways and sinful ways, are the neighbors least likely to receive God's gracious invitation into the life-giving kingdom of his Son? You see, we too can be like Nathanael, doubtful about what God can do on behalf of and with neighbors in marginal areas like Galilee, cautious about strangers coming into and serving in our churches, guarded about inviting the modern-day Galileans around us to be disciples of Jesus with us for the sake of the world. When we think in these ways, we are the ones walking in darkness. We only see with the eyes of the flesh, and we close our hearts to the surprisingly gracious ways in which God reveals his great love for new neighbors near and far away through his Son. Yet God is merciful, and he surprises us again and again, inviting us to see with the eyes of the Holy Spirit what mighty deeds he can do in the most unlikely places and among the most unlikely characters. He calls us once again to see the light wherever he shines, even in Galilee among Galileans. When we ask ourselves, like Nathaniel, can anything good come out of Topeka? Can anything good come out of McFarland? Can anything good come out of immigrants? Can anything good come out of outsiders? Jesus gently sends us a Philip who invites us on his behalf to come and see that the Lord can and does do great things in and out of those people. Through Philip, we are called anew to come and see that the love of God in Christ Jesus knows no ethnic, racial, linguistic, tribal, or geographical boundaries. What is the church but a beautiful fellowship of Galileans, a marginal people called out of darkness into the light of the Son, a people once dead raised to new life through faith in God's Son? After all, Peter reminds us that once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. We were all separate once, but God brought us together to be his people. And through strangers in our midst, God reminds us that the church itself is a group of strangers in a foreign land. We are in the world, but not of the world. To the world, we are complete strangers speaking with a strange accent and walking to a strange beat. We speak the ancient language of Holy Scripture. We initiate people into the church by sprinkling them with water at our fonts. We eat the body and drink the blood of God's Son at our altars. Our pastors forgive our sins. We even love our enemies. And we sing and dance to the tune of strange-sounding hymns, canticles, and songs to worship our Galilean Lord and God. How odd, how surprising. To the world, we are strange Galileans. And so on this LWML Sunday, we rejoice in God's calling and invitation to come and see once again what he has graciously done in our lives, his great deeds of salvation on behalf of Galileans like us. Today, we also receive with thanksgiving and wonder Jesus' surprising invitation to come and see what he can do, and indeed is doing, even among the Galilean neighbors in our midst, to extend his kingdom throughout the world. We also thank God that he invites us to see what he does with those around the world, with our partnerships with other churches and nations around the world. Hey, Philip, can anything good really come out of Nazareth in Galilee? Yes, indeed, Nathaniel. God's greatest gift to us, has surprisingly come out of lowly Galilee for us and for our salvation. Good things do come out of Galilee. Hey, Philip, can God work out his salvation in lowly places and among strangers today? Yes, indeed. Come and see.